what was your motivation to draft this petition?
Well, we lived through such an incredibly toxic political campaign season, and there was so much divisiveness. And after the election, there were organizations like the Southern Poverty Law Center, for instance, who were reporting on this dramatic spike in hate crimes, graffiti and hate speech and intimidation and harassment, not just of immigrant students, but students of color, students and faculty of color and staff and Muslim students and Jewish students. And what really caught my attention was that hate crimes were happening everywhere in the period right after the election, but the place they were happening the most was in K through 12 and in the university. And as an educator, I thought, okay, this is not right. This is not in keeping with, you know, what we promise at NAU. We promise inclusion and access for all students. And I felt moved to respond.
What does the petition ask for?
So there are two documents right now. There's a resolution on diversity and sanctuary, which will go before the Faculty Senate on December 5th. And there's also a petition circulating around the NAU community. And what the petition and the resolution ask for is a reaffirmation of our values as a community, that we value diversity, we value inclusion, we value the teaching and learning project that is free from harassment and fear. We want to reach out to vulnerable students and faculty and staff and let them know that they're safe, and we're going to do what we can to protect them. And in doing so, we have joined this nationwide movement for Sanctuary for Higher Education. So the petition and the resolution ask for NAU to be made a sanctuary campus.
There's a long history of sanctuary movements in the United States. It's not new, and in fact, maybe a cornerstone of our evolution as a culture and our diverse culture. Can you talk about the history of sanctuary movements a little bit and where this particular movement has its place in that history?
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely fascinating. And in fact, it really has been a cornerstone of American democracy and social justice. I mean, if we look back to movements like the Underground Railroad, which provided sanctuary, safety, legal advice for slaves who were seeking a better life. Or if we look back more recently to the 1980s, the sanctuary movement that rose in response to the civil unrest in Central America. I find the Sanctuary Movement for Higher Education so intriguing because it echoes these earlier movements of social justice in really powerful ways.
So a university can only provide so much protection. It's in some ways symbolic protection.
It's true that the Sanctuary Movement for Higher Education is largely a symbolic move. And there's already been some critics out there who are like, well, this is a symbolic action. And I would agree, it is a symbolic action. It's sending a message to our vulnerable populations that we're going to stand with them. But I think it also has practical dimensions, Jillian, because there's things that campuses can do who claim to be sanctuaries. They can not willingly assist with deportation efforts for faculty, students, and staff. They can hold immigration records private or not even gather that information at all. And they can not invite the ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, onto campus without exigent circumstance. And none of these things are illegal. In fact, all of these things are in keeping with legal standards. There was a 2011 ICE memorandum, in fact, that said universities and other institutions are what are called sensitive areas, that ICE just can't come on and look for illegal immigrants. That's the law right now, and we want to make sure we uphold that law.
Dr. Joya Woods, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Jillian, it was a pleasure. Thank you.